I'm going to use some scripture this morning, both out of the Old and the New Testament, but I'm going to start in the New Testament. And if I have a thought that I would want you to remember, it would be this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And that's the 37th verse of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, as it were in the days of Noah. Let me give you a little background here. Jesus was with his disciples. He had been talking about that he was soon going to be leaving them. And he had also talked to them about some of the events that were going to happen in the future. And the disciples were no different than we are today in respect that they were curious as to when all these things were going to take place. And what they really wanted was just a very simple, clear-cut answer to tell them, when shall these things be? When are these things you're talking about going to happen? We're still wanting that same question answered today. And unfortunately, we probably are not any better equipped to accept the answers than the disciples were in their day. And probably not any more knowledgeable about when these things are going to happen than they were. And yet the Lord, in his word, gives us many of the things that we can expect to happen. And he said to the disciples, he said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now he said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour when these things are going to come to pass. There is not a single one of us here this morning who know when it is going to come our time to leave this earth. There is not a single one of us here this morning who knows when the Lord is finally going to look down and say, it's enough. But I can tell you without any reservation whatsoever this morning that the most important thing that every single one of us need to know is that whenever that time comes, we are ready. That we're ready for it. That we at some point in time in our lives listened to the voice of the Lord as he spoke into our hearts. That we heeded his call, that we came to him, and he saved our soul. Now that's the most important thing that you need to know this morning, is that you are one of his children. I cannot help but as I thought along the line of, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man, that we are living in a very troublesome time. I hesitate to say that we are living in the end time, because that is an old cliche that has been around as long as I've been around. And I've been around quite a while. But I can tell you this, that there has never been a time in my life whenever that the scripture is any closer to being fulfilled than it is today. And I'm convinced that we truly are living in a time whenever that it would not take much, if anything else, for the Lord to look down and say, that's enough. If you go back over in the Old Testament, and you go back into the book of Genesis and you look to see what was going on when Noah was here, you've got to understand that there hadn't been many generations who had lived at the time that the Lord looked down and saw what was going on. after he had created man and placed him in the garden, it didn't take long for man to destroy that relationship between the Lord and man. After that, Adam and Eve had had their sons, and the two of them went out, and one killed his brother. The Lord then spoke unto him and told him, you know, what was going to happen. And he took off, and he did the best he could to live. But things, in spite of the fact that they appeared to be getting better, were just headed in a downward spiral, which is what we are still in today. We're only kidding ourselves, people, when we think that things are going to get better today. They are not. You're not going to see that. You're not going to be here during that millennium period, whenever that Satan is bound for the 1,000 years. So you needn't think you're going to see things get that much better. Unfortunately, what we're probably going to do is say things get continually worse until the Lord finally says it is enough. And he will do that one of these days. Man is not going to destroy himself from off the face of the earth according to the word of the Lord. The Lord has reserved a few things for himself, and I'm convinced that that's one of the things that he's reserved for himself. He will call the shot, not us. After that, man had strayed away from the Lord. The Bible says that the thoughts and the intents of his heart were continually evil. They were continually evil. Man looked out and he began to multiply upon the face of the earth. He increased his livelihood. He became wealthy according to the standards of the world. And we still put such a great amount of emphasis on the wealth of the individual. And we're not exempt in this part of the country. We may think we are, but we're not. We all still look and all have our perception of who the wealthiest people are. And I'm sure that each of you got have in your mind, you know, who you consider to be a wealthy person. But the wealthiest person there is this morning is the person who has the Lord in their heart, and who is following the Lord, who is serving the Lord, who's being blessed of the Lord. And I will guarantee you this morning that that person may not have the biggest bank account of any of the people there are, but he is or she is a wealthy person when they have the Lord. Man started building cities. He started building his empires. It wasn't long until the man decided that one wife wasn't enough, so he took in more wives. And then, according to the word of the Lord, it was customary for the man to take as many wives as he chose. We're at a point in time to where that probably for our society today, it's about as easy to go out here and to get a wife and to get rid of a wife than it is to go out here and license your vehicle and then to be able to get rid of it. We have just come to that point. And it's acceptable today in our society. It's not anything to be concerned about. I still marvel at these people who are observing their 60th and 65th and 70th, 75th wedding anniversaries. I kind of watch those on the news sometimes, and I think that's great, you know, that we've still got a few people who live by that standard. Unfortunately, there are not many of them anymore. And you miss it well because they don't live that long, but there are more of them living longer. I also read the obituaries and see what the age are on there to see how many of them are older than I am and how many of them are younger than I am, you know. So I'm starting to make some comparisons on those things too. But man was continually, the thoughts and the intents of his heart was evil. And God finally looked down and said, that's enough. I'm going to destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth. And you may remember then that after that the Lord had said he was going to destroy man, and he made known unto Abram at that time that he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness of that those cities. And the Lord said, you know, Abram is a man that I'm going to let him know what's going to happen, because Abram is a good man. He wasn't a perfect man, but God let him know. And Abram said, you know what, Lord, if I can go down there and I can find 50 righteous people, would you spare the city? Yes, Lord. And the Lord said, I will spare it. And Abram then just kept coming down. He kept reducing that number. He finally got down and he said, Lord, if I can just find 10 people down there, would you spare the city? So the Lord said, if I can find 10 people, or if you can find 10 people, righteous people, I will spare the cities. He couldn't find 10 people in those cities that were righteous people. And of course, we all know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. However, I want you to know that when the angels came down to get Lot and his wife and his two daughters out of the city, that the angel said unto Lot, we cannot destroy the city until you're out of it. Didn't say we won't destroy it, said we cannot destroy it. So for those who have this idea that maybe you're going to be here when the fireworks begin, you forget it. If you're a child of God, I guarantee you by the word of God, you won't be here to experience that. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to be concerned about that. And I know there are people who are, and there are people who think, oh my goodness, and we've got preachers who are preaching that's already happened. My goodness, I can't imagine what period of time that they got for 1,000 years there that Satan was bound. I can't remember a year whenever Satan was not loose and sin was not prevalent in this world, from the time that God created man and placed him in the garden and he listened to that deceiver Satan. Hasn't happened, folks. But we as God's children are a type of Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so the Lord said, Noah, you go out here and build that ark. And while he was out here building the ark, the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. So he was doing some preaching while he was out there during that 100-year period of time. And he was warning the people as to what was going to happen, and they could have cared less. They didn't pay any more attention to him than people pay any attention to our preaching today. And we have to understand that. Now, if we think for one minute, and sometimes all I want to do is to encourage you as God's children, first of all, that you do have the responsibility, we have the responsibility as a church to warn those who are lost. And just the mere fact that we don't receive the reception that we think we should does not give us a license to give up or to quit. Man never has been the individual who would listen to the Lord as a whole. And that hasn't changed. Noah goes out here and he goes to the building. The people go on their merry way. They've listened to what he had to say. And they didn't take heed until it was too late. And that's what's going to happen to a lot of our people today. A lot of your families. A lot of my family. Who are going to wait until it's too late. Too late. We don't like to think about that. We always like to think that's going to be somebody else. That's going to be somebody else's family. Now let me tell you something. There's probably not a single family here this morning, not a single one of you, who don't have members in your family who will wait until it's too late. Too late. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and they were drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They were having a good time. We are a society today that dwells on having a good time, enjoying life to the fullest, and we don't even know what enjoyment of life to the fullest is. Every one of us have a different idea. And most of us have the wrong ideas. Let me assure you this morning that the best thing that every single one of us can do is pay attention to what the Lord is saying to us as to a way that we ought to live our lives. And we will do that not only through His Spirit, but through His Word. It takes that combination. Some get the idea that, well, all I've got to do is go to church and listen to what the preacher has to say. You'll never get it that way. You'll never make it that way. You've got to have that relationship with the Lord where His Spirit speaks to your heart and where His Word speaks to your heart. The Lord said, "For as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered until Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Also, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now he said, they took them all away. Took them all. There wasn't anyone who escaped excepting Noah and his family who were in the ark, which is the type of the ark of safety, which is Jesus Christ. The rest of them were destroyed. All of them. Not some of them. All of them. God could have just gone ahead and wiped out the whole thing and started all over again. God had that capability, but the Bible says that Noah had found grace in his eyes. But they knew not until the flood came. "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." We need to watch. We need to be aware. And I realize that probably some of our people are not too much into knowing and caring about what's going on in our world today. But let me assure you this morning that if I were in God's place, and I'm not. But if I were, I'll guarantee you it'd already be over with staying. I'd have said, you know, the way these people are misbehaving, the way they're living, everything, that's enough. But you know what? One of the Rovers wrote and said, "The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so I'm convinced the reason that we're still here today is that the Lord is still patiently and long-sufferingly giving other people the opportunity. Now I want you to listen to what the Apostle Peter said in closing. I was visiting with someone last week, and they said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm sitting here bringing up the date, the time on my sermons. So I've written down ever since Dennis started doing our recordings and our videos. I've written down the time of every one of my sermons, so I know about how long that I'm preaching." And so some of you say, "Well, you know, it's not long enough," and some of you are probably thinking it's too long. You haven't come to me and said that, but anyway, I do want you to know that I do try to watch that. But I want you to listen in closing this morning to what the Apostle Peter said. He said, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Where is this? I very well remember, you all heard me say, when I was a young man, I was lost, and I'd go over to Macedonia Church once in a while with my folks, where I went because they made me. I'd go over there and I'd hear Bill or Carl Lyons get up there and preach hellfire and brimstone. Man, I want you to know, to scare the fire out of me. And I knew I was lost. I knew I was lost. But I would think, you know what? They've been saying that for ever and ever. And here, 70 years later, I'm still saying, he's going to come one of these days. But let me just tell you this. Peter said there'll come those people walking after their own lusts who are going to scoff and say, where is the sign of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Yeah, we've got people that say, why, you know what, it's been this way. I've been doing some reading of materials written back in the 15th and 16th century, whenever we begin to have some of our Baptist confessions of faith that came into existence. And they were experiencing similar to what we're experiencing today. So for hundreds of years, we've been hearing this same thing. But I will guarantee you, listen to what the Word says. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter said, you know what? These scoffers need to understand. They're saying, oh, it's been that way forever. Peter said, you're right. The same person who gave the word when the world was destroyed by water is the same person who today has reserved the word until he gives it when the world will be destroyed by fire. Remember, the Lord promised, he said, I'll never destroy the world again with water, but he did then later say, I will destroy it with fire. There's going to come a very perilous time. How soon? I don't know. I wish I did know. In one hand, I'd like to know. On the other hand, I wouldn't want to know. It's kind of like death. We'd all kind of like to know when it's going to happen, and yet we don't want to know when it's actually going to come down to us. I do know this one thing. We're living in a very perilous time. We're living in a careless time when people seem to be more concerned about everything under the sun than they are about the souls of men that are lost. And that's frightening. And the Lord's eventually going to say, that's enough. Now listen, this is where Peter ended that. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. You know what? God gave this thing called time to man. He doesn't need it. It's a measurement that we use. Every one of us uses it all the time. Hours, minutes, seconds, days, months, years, weeks, all of these things are measurements of time that we use to tell us how much we've got. Time is nothing to God, because he's been before the beginning and will be after it's all over. But the Bible says there is a day reserved when he's going to say, it's enough. And I'll guarantee you, when that day comes, there aren't enough devils in hell to stop that from happening. And there aren't enough angels in heaven who will prevent it. So we need to be sure that we're ready.